So we're from all over, right? All over the Southeast. Oh, thank you. All over the Southeast, at least, and maybe I know some from Texas. Washington, Virginia. So we got quite a few. We'll explore that when we get a moment. But if the brothers can correct me here if my facts are off, but I believe that this is the 26th year of the college training. Isn't that right? 1991. Did I do my math right? 26? 26 years. So before you were born, the college training started. And the college training in the Southeast here in Athens began 10 years ago. Isn't that right? 2007? I think that's right. 2007. This is 17. I can even do that math. 10 years here in the Southeast. Thank the Lord for such a wonderful provision for all the college students. I mean, they're just, you've grown up with it. It's so normal to you. You know, I grew up in the church life, and there was no college training. It was, you know, you kind of did what you could do and tried to do the best you could. But, boy, I would have loved a college training. This is great. So this year there are actually five college trainings. I think you know that. The four corners of the United States and right in the middle. There's one in California, in Washington, New York, Georgia, and Illinois. With over 1,000 young people and serving ones in the college training. One of them, I think, is just finishing, right? The West Coast, is today the last day? Today, yeah. So that was just finishing, and the four others, I think, are starting this weekend some point. So it's good that we realize we're part of something bigger than just us here. I think what we have like 160 or so, is that we? 150 here. But we're part of 1,000 that are participating in the college training. In the same material, same burden. Hallelujah. It's so good. Let me, give you some history. I'm going to read to you the titles of the past 10 college trainings. And after each one, say amen. Okay, we'll start with 2016. The Revelation of the Mystery.
Amen.
You remember that one, right?
Amen.
Okay. 15, God's Age Turners.
Amen.
14, the Humanity of Jesus.
Amen.
2013, the Lord's Coming.
Amen.
Now we're probably getting to before you, even the seniors got here. 2012, the Course of the Church.
Amen.
2011, a Man of God.
Amen.
2010, Christ Our Portion.
Amen.
2009, Christ Lives in Me.
Amen.
Wow. 2008, that I may gain Christ.
Amen.
2007, the Revelation of the Mystery.
Amen.
Full circle. Revelation of the Mystery. And now in 2017, what is the title?
Knowing, seeing, and gaining God.
Amen.
In an age of godlessness.
In an age of godlessness. Wow, what a title that we will be enjoying this week. So we are all here without a doubt to know God.
Amen.
To see God and to gain God.
Amen.
But we're doing it in a context. And we'll have fellowship about that context. We are living in an age of godlessness. We'll have a lot of fellowship about that. So let me just review with you the burden or the goal of the college training. Just to make sure we're all on the same page. What are we doing here? Okay, number one, we hope everyone will see a heavenly vision.
Amen.
A heavenly vision. Now, a heavenly vision is not something weird. It's not something that you nod off and, oh, I saw a vision. Hallelujah. It's not that kind of vision. It is a heavenly scene. It's an extraordinary scene. It's not something you see every day walking to school. It's a heavenly scene, a heavenly vision. So expect that when you leave this training, you will have seen something heavenly. It will be a vision, and it will be something that can guide and control your whole life. Okay, number two, to be equipped with the truth. To be equipped with the truth. We'll have a lot of fellowship about this. A lot of that has to do with getting in the Word together. We'll be getting in the Word corporately, individually. We'll be memorizing the Word. We'll be speaking the Word. We'll be tested on the Word. It is just so good to have your hands full of the Word. Amen. Okay, what else? Be helped with our experience of life. With our subjective experience of the Christian life. We'll definitely receive help in this area. We'll also enter into the practices of the church life. Amen. Something corporate. We aren't just individual Christians here. We're not just college students. We are members in the body. And we're members in local churches. Amen. And we want to enter into the local churches and into the practices of the church life. Okay, also, be perfected in preaching the
gospel.
Hallelujah. When's the gospel time, Robert?
Monday.
It's coming up right away. Hallelujah. Be perfected in preaching the gospel. Wow, that's quite a treasure to have. And we have some brothers who have a lot of experience in this matter who are going to help us. And the last thing, although we're only here for a week, one of our hopes, our goals, our burdens is to develop your character a little bit more. Hey, we're only here a week, so, you know, we can only do what we can do. But we're going to be together for a week, and we would like to develop our character so that we can all be useful members in the body of Christ.
Amen.
So, some pretty lofty goals and burdens for this training. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So, this is how anytime you come to a conference, you need to know what the goal is. And at the end of the conference, you need to check, okay, what was the goal? Did it reach the goal for me? Well, that's how you can tell. The last day, we might go back to this list and see, well, did you get a heavenly vision? Did you get perfected in the truth? We'll go back over these. If you want to pray about something in the next few days, it's a good list to pray for yourself. Say, Lord, I don't want to miss any of the burdens of this training. I don't want to miss the goals for this training. I want every one of these points to happen to me this week. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, tonight is the official beginning of the 2017 college training. But it's really just a night of introduction and orientation, and the meat of the training will begin tomorrow. So we'll have time to cover a lot of practical things related to the book that you have in your hand. Some of the brothers will go through the different sections so you know all the different sections that you'll be involved with this week. Go over the schedule, the testing, the reading, the morning revival time. We'll have a lot of practical fellowship. But before we get to those matters, we want to fellowship two specific things. I'm going to take part of it, and then Brother Willie is going to take the other part. And Brother Willie is going to fellowship with us related to getting in the ministry and propagating the ministry. And diving into the ministry and learning how to get in the ministry. So he's going to give just a very brief overview of that topic. And what I want to fellowship with you is this. I want to fellowship with you, how can you prepare yourself to get the most out of this training? Okay, because we're just getting started. And again, this is an introductory night. Everyone here paid a price to be here. monetarily. You had to sign up and pay money to come to the training. You had to stop working for a week if you were working. You had to stop going to the beach for a week if you were on vacation. You're paying a price to be in the college training. So we are very concerned in that we want you to get the most you can out of this training. And this particular training has a very particular burden. I mean, we can read the title, Knowing God, Seeing God, Gaining God in an Age of Godlessness. We are going to be fellowshipping, young people, about some very weighty matters this week. And actually, it's going to start right away tomorrow. In fact, the first evening meeting tomorrow night is a very weighty word. And we'll touch some particular burdens that you need to be prepared for. You need to prepare yourself to receive the word. You know, what have we been doing all summer? We've been doing all kinds of things this summer. Hopefully some got to, how many got to go to the summer training? See your hands. Okay. Not a whole lot, but some were there. So how about how many have been working this summer? Good, at least half. How many have been vacationing this summer? Okay, that's okay too. A little of both probably. So we come from different places. We come to this training. The Lord gathers us together out of a lot of things to be at the training. To be prepared to receive this word this week, we need a clear sky above us. We really need a clear sky. To receive the word that you're going to hear requires a clear sky. It really does. It requires that there's no clouds, there's no fog, there's no pollution, there's no covering. We need to pray for this. Corporately, in all of our meetings, we pray. The brothers tonight, before the meeting, we had a strong burden to pray for a clear sky over this training. Amen. A clear sky over every meeting. But you need a personal clear sky. You need to pray before the Lord. Lord, give me a clear sky. Because in addition to all the positive things that we will fellowship about knowing God, seeing God, and gaining God, we have to realize we live in a context of an age. And you can describe this age with a lot of different adjectives, but I think this word is the best descriptor of this age: godless. We live in an age full of godlessness. There is nothing in this age to help us pursue the Lord. There's nothing in this age that will help us know the Lord, to see the Lord, to gain the Lord. So we're going to be talking about this age. That's one of the first things we talk about tomorrow night in the evening meeting, is this age of godlessness. And young people, you must know that there is a God of this age. There is a God of this age. 2 Corinthians 4:4 is very clear on this. I'll just read you the phrase. Does anybody have that? Well, that's all right. Don't look it up. Never mind. I'm just going to tell you. 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about the God of this age. And you know what the God of this age? Well, first off, who is the God of this age? It is Satan himself. The deceiver, He's the ruler of this age. And you know what he does mainly? He is seeking for people to worship him, and he does it in one main way. You know how he does it? He comes to your mind. And his whole goal, blind the mind. Blind the minds of the young people. And it's very interesting. We can be so blind that we're blind to our blindness. We don't even know we're blind. I mean, I haven't known that many blind people, but the few that I've known, they were very clear they were blind. They knew they were blind. But in this age, in the spiritual age, with the God of this age, he gets us to the point where we don't even realize that we are blind by coming to the mind and putting us in environments. Mainly the college campus is a place where the enemy works extremely hard on young people to blind them to the truth, to blind them to anything related to God. It's very interesting to me, having been in college and got out of college and been in the workforce, no time in your life is like college. And by that, I don't mean in a good way. I mean, the things that are said on a college campus could never be said in the workplace. It's not appropriate. It's not acceptable. There are rules against it. You can't talk like that. But on a college campus, wow, everything goes. Free speech. Unless you want to preach the gospel. Free speech. To poison the mind of young peoples, to call what's down up and what's up down. What's left, we call it right. What's right, we call it left. And everybody's okay with that. And then you'll get out of college one day and realize, even in a worldly sense, college is a weird time. It's just a weird time. Believe me, I worked. You can't say those things. You can't express those opinions in the workplace. But on a college campus, wow, you're exalted. The more bizarre you want to be, the more protected you are. That's not an accident. There's a God of this age who is working to blind the minds of young people. Because if he can blind you when you're 18, when you're 19, when you're 20, it really takes a lot of work to make you see later on. Then you're dealing with Paul on the road to Damascus. You're dealing with a big event where God himself has to come and shine on you and enlighten you, and you in an instant you realize everything they told me was wrong. It was a lie. But wow, that takes a lot of work for the Lord to get somebody to that point. But during our college years, there is a concerted effort to blind the minds of young people. And I don't think, sitting here right now, you realize the effect that the God of this age has had on you. That this age of godlessness, how it's impacted you personally. The thoughts that you have taken in, that have been spoon-fed to you by respectable people, and you just begin to take it. You just, wow, they must be right. Why would they say that if it wasn't right? They must be right. Eventually, young people, the battle between God and Satan is over our mind, very specifically. Satan is working as the god of this age to blind the thoughts and the minds of people. And then what is God doing? In Romans, he said, don't be fashioned according to this age. What age? That age right there. Don't be fashioned according to this age. But do what? How? By the mind. The renewing of the mind. The age is after your mind. After your thoughts. And you don't even realize it until it's too late. The thoughts are there. I mean, I love the example Brother Lee used so many times of a garlic room. You heard that or read it? He said, you know, if you walked into a room full of garlic, you'd walk in, oh, wow, oh, this is terrible in here. Strong garlic. But then you stay in there for a little while. Yeah, you know, you sit down and read the paper, and pretty soon, it doesn't smell so bad in here. Yeah, it's all right. A day later, it's just, what? Garlic? I don't smell garlic. You smell garlic? Saints, college campuses, which are a microcosm of this age, is the garlic room. And you smell it and it stinks, but you stay around long enough, you stay 4 years, 5 years, pretty soon, you know, it smelled a little bit way back then, but it's okay. I know what they mean. And you're taking it in. You're taking it in. Okay, we have to pray. We have to pray as this training begins. Lord, take away the covering. Take away all the things. And don't, listen, let me tell you this. Don't assume you know where you're blind. That's part of being blind. Don't assume, oh yeah, I know he's talking about that. No. We don't even know our blindness. We need the Lord's mercy to shine on us so that we could receive the word over this next week. We really need the Lord's mercy. Let me give you, in your time with the Lord by yourself, and maybe even in your time with your room fellowship, there's a prayer in a hymn. It's actually just a prayer put to music from Brother Lee. And it's hymn number 426. Write that down, hymn 426. And I'm going to read you a few verses. This would be an excellent hymn to pray over tonight, tomorrow, maybe the whole training. Let me read you a few verses. Remove my covering, Lord, that I may see the light and be deceived no more, but all things see aright. We just have to admit we don't see things as they really are because we're living in this thing right here, this godless age. Oh, may thy living light, Lord, scatter all my night, Lord, and everything make bright, Lord, for this I pray to thee. Amen. I hardly know myself, deceived by so much pride. I often think I'm right and am self-satisfied. I know thee even less in doctrine shallowly. True revelation lack of thy reality. This is a prayer. Make this your prayer this week. As for thy life within, in darkness I mistake if spirit or the flesh. I can't even tell. I can't tell what's my spirit and what's my flesh. One for the other take. As for thy way, O Lord, I often am not clear. So what do? I toward seclusion tend. I just get by myself. Because I don't know what to do. And from the pathway veer. As for thy will for me, I do not know it well. I substitute my own and often would rebel. Oh, Lord. There's more verses. Anyway, 426, use this in your prayer. Right now, in fact, with somebody next to you, have some prayer. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, save us. Every one of us. Oh, we could see a light. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Amen. Okay. Amen. Let's have more prayer when we're by ourselves, when we're with our companions, to pray this way. The Lord, don't you think the Lord loves these kind of prayers? Is just telling him, Lord, I just need you. Shine on me. This week, to receive all the words that we're going to hear this week, we need a clear sky. We just need things cleared up. The Lord needs to help us blow away all the things. Okay, now, the next point, and my last point, is this. Because I have to be faithful to you. Yes, we need to pray for a clear sky. But there's another matter related to a clear sky that we need to start this training with. And that is this. Your personal sky is directly related to your conscience. Your personal sky is directly related to your conscience. That's a quote from the Ezekiel training. You may have missed, that may have just gone right over your head in the last Ezekiel. It didn't me, it stopped me. It was message number 7 of the first Ezekiel training. And the crystallization of Ezekiel. And Brother Lee shared very strongly with all the saints. And to me had some just lines I prayed, I love them. Said, the story of your sky is the story of your conscience. Another direct quote. The story of your sky is the story of your conscience. Whether your sky is clear has everything to do with your conscience. Now, this matter of the conscience is a very basic matter of our Christian life. It's in the initial stage of our Christian life. It's something we speak with the junior high and the high schoolers about a lot, right, Willie?
A lot.
But you're in college. Some of you were not with us in your junior high and high school years, or some of you were, but you've gotten away from this matter. We never graduate from taking care of our conscience. Never. Just because it's in the initial stage of our experience of life doesn't mean, oh, been there, done that, I'll move on to something more mature. No. Paul's testimony in Acts 23, I have taken care of my conscience to this day. Indicating that very day, he was clear that his conscience was clear today. He was taking care of his conscience regularly. Clearing it of any offense, any sin, any transgression, any failure, wrongdoing. He was constantly taking care of his conscience. Now, and then in Acts 24, he even was more specific. He said, he used a good word too, I exercise myself. I exercise. Taking care of your conscience is an exercise. He said, I exercise to have a conscience. I'm not exactly sure if this is the right word, exact words. Brothers, check me.
Always have a conscience without offense
toward
God and
men. Say it one more time, loud. Always. I exercise myself, always. And now, he didn't just say before God. He said God and man. He kept a clear conscience. So, as we begin this college training, with all the words you're going to hear and receive that require a clear sky, you must have a dealing with your conscience. You must. This is one of the advantages of getting away and getting out of your normal life and stopping for a moment and saying, wow, where am I? What have I been doing? It's a good time to stop yourself and just consider, is your conscience void of offense today? Before God and man. So let's have just a little fellowship on taking care of our conscience. Very simple, not heavy, very simple, very doable. First off, how do you not take care of your conscience? How do you not take care of the offenses on your conscience? Well, let me tell you one thing that does not work, and that is time passing. You know, often when we sin or we offend, we have an instant feeling about it because our conscience is alive and the Lord's living in us. We have an instant feeling. But if we wait a few days, a few weeks, a few months, that initial sting, well, it's gone, or it's, I can live with it. It's muffled. Yeah, it's muffled. It's drowned out by other things. Is that how we take care of our conscience? So how do we take care of our conscience? Very clear in the Word. Crystal clear. If you're raised up in the church life, you know. Because we talk about this all the time with the junior high and high schoolers as they're getting started in their Christian life. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What verse is that? 1 John 1:9. That should be written on your heart, inscribed in your heart, without a doubt. There's a lot of higher things you might say than that, but that's basic. You got to have that to be a Christian. Because it's not a matter of, try not to sin, you know? Try to be good. Wouldn't that resolve everything? Just don't mess up. Right, Willie? Just don't mess up. Then everything's good. No. You're perfect. No, you know what? We're going to need the blood every day we're on this earth. We're just flesh. We're just sinners. Saved by grace, and we fall, we stumble, we have besetting sins. You know what besetting means? We just keep doing it. We keep doing it. We don't want to do it. We intend not to do it, and we keep getting tripped up by the same sin because we're just weak we have a weakness. And we can promise ourselves, I'll be better, I won't do that again, I promise. And we're just sinners. So, there's a provision. Hallelujah!
Amen.
What is that provision? The precious blood of Jesus. But guess what? Something activates the blood in our experience. And that is confession. Confessing our sins. And taking care of anything that would be bothering our conscience, would be offending our conscience, whether it's with God or it's with man. I mean, many times our offense is more with man than God. Okay, small example, but very fresh. This week, talking to my wife, she asked me a question. I had already answered that question. I had already told her. I said it in English. And I told her. And then she asked me the same question again. And I just snapped at her. I had a nasty attitude and said something short and curt and went to bed. Showed her, didn't I? So I get up in the morning. I get my morning revival out. Close the morning revival. Who do you think you are? The offense was with my wife. The Lord may have been unhappy with me too, but believe me, she was more unhappy. And I had to go find her. Honey, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have spoken that way. Then I could open my morning revival and have time with the Lord. That was so sweet. Okay, what's my point? We have to be ones who have short accounts with the Lord. Short accounts. It's not a matter, are we going to mess up? Are we going to sin? Of course we are. Get used to it. We are going to fail and sin and stumble many, many, many times. What matters is, how quickly do you take care of it? How quickly do you say, oh, Lord, forgive me? And I had to do that regarding my wife. I'd tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Again, too short, too abrupt, too everything. Lord, forgive me once again, another time. And then to my wife. Take care of it with God and with man. Now, let me ask you a very practical question. How do you know if something is on your conscience? How do you know that something's on your conscience? It's really simple. You're thinking about it right now. It's that thing. Because the Lord is so real in us. He doesn't let it go. He reminds us. What we don't have to do, young people, and we should never get in the trap of, is introspection. Oh, let me think about my week. Oh, what did I do this week? Oh, let me consider. What did I say? How did I say it? Was it good? Was it bad? Oh, let me. No. That is a losing proposition right there. Forget that. The Lord is very faithful. When something's on your conscience, maybe sitting here right now, you know what's on your conscience. You know. No one has to tell you. You don't have to discuss it with anyone. Does this qualify for being on my conscience? No, you know exactly what it is. That's the time. Lord Jesus, forgive me for lying. Forgive me for lying to that brother. I was trying to look good, and I exaggerated. Lord, forgive me. Right then, guess what happens? The blood of Jesus, his son, washes us. The sky is clear. Our sky is suddenly, we didn't realize it was murky. We didn't realize it was men were as trees walking. We didn't realize that we weren't seeing things clear. All of a sudden, wow. The flow is there. The flow is there. Just by taking care of our conscience. This is the key to having a clear sky. Yes, we should pray for it. And you should pray with a companion for it. Use that hymn, 426. But you can't bypass your conscience. You can't do that. You have to have a time of just, amen, Lord. I would encourage you tonight to have a time with the Lord, very specifically, to just clear the decks with the Lord. Anything that is an offense between you and the Lord or you and someone else. And if it needs to be cleared up with someone else, make yourself a little list that I'm going to take care of these things. I commit to you, Lord, at the beginning of the college training, when I get back home, I need to talk to that person. I need to apologize to my mom. I need to return the thing I borrowed. We never outgrow this. This is just a normal practice of a normal Christian. Always taking care of our sins, our failures, our mistakes, and doing it quickly. So I want to give you, Robert, do you think we have a few minutes more for this?
Okay.
I would like to give them some time right now, just while it's fresh. Okay, let's do this. You can stand up, you can walk around for 5 minutes. And just, if there is something that is bothering you, now's the time just to confess it to the Lord. This is by yourself. Let me tell you what's not helpful. Talking about it with somebody else. Not helpful at all. We're not trying to air our dirty laundry to each other, okay? We got plenty of our own. You don't need mine, I don't need yours. So it's between us and the Lord at this point. Okay, so 5 minutes, I'll call you back. You can stand up, you can move around, you can sit down, but just have some time with the Lord on this matter. Amen. Well, maybe you haven't had a time with the Lord to confess your sins in a while, so you may need more time than that, and you'll have more time on your own, probably this evening even, and in the morning, things you need to take care of. If there are things you need to take care of with a person, make yourself a note so that it will be with you when the training's over so that you could take care of it. But it's simple, saints. What is so wonderful is the things of this life are mysterious but simple. Simple to apply. The blood of His Son cleansing us from all sins if we confess our sins. Be a good confessor. Be a quick confessor. Time going by doesn't solve our sin problem. Be quick to confess. Be quick to say you're sorry to people. Amen. So, one thing you can always expect when you have this kind of experience is the enemy's accusation. The enemy can definitely come to you and say, you didn't do it right. You didn't use the magic words. I don't think he really forgave you because he doesn't know how bad you are. You have to reject the enemy. And the way to reject the enemy is the Word of God. To stand on the Word. Stand on the Word of God. Quote the Word to the enemy. Never doubt a confession. When you confess your sins to the Lord, it's over. It's over. Move on. Any accusation beyond that, that's the enemy. Any wondering, oh, I don't know, did I really do it right? Reject that. Satan, I confessed my sin to the Lord. He cleansed me. The end. Amen. Okay, that's really what I wanted to share in terms of preparing yourself for this training. There are two very practical things I would like to mention as I'm closing my books, and that is this. I would like to make a suggestion to you also in preparing. This is not a requirement. This is a suggestion. It's not a regulation of the training. To prepare yourself for this week and to get the most out of this week, I would suggest a technology fast. Some have done it in the past, right, Robert?
Yeah.
And they didn't die. As far as I know, they're still healthy and doing fine. Young people, our devices, I mean, they're here, okay? They're not going anywhere. I'm not on an anti-device kick here. But our device can be noise between us and the Lord. It can be one of the things in our sky that just, it were not clear. The Lord is speaking to us. Oh, but Facebook is speaking to me too. Instagram's calling my name. Bing, bing. You know, it wouldn't hurt to consider just putting your phone on airplane mode. For a week, people will think you have fallen off a cliff somewhere. But believe me, this could make a big difference in what you receive this week. It really could. Consider that. Consider it. Again, it's not a regulation. We're not even going to check up with you on it. We're just making that suggestion to you. The last suggestion, and this is a more corporate suggestion on getting the most out of our time, do your best not to get up during the meetings. Has anybody been to a training recently? There's been a bit of a shift at the training, if anybody who's been there. This is just, it's just a problem that not just the young people have, but everybody has. We like to get up in the meeting. We like to stretch our legs a little bit, go to the bathroom, you know, comb our hair, do something. But it's really disruptive to the meeting to have somebody stand up right in the middle of the speaking and walk all the way around and back out and back. And then 50 people do that. It can be very disturbing to the atmosphere of the meeting. So I would ask you, plan your water intake accordingly that you can make it through the meeting. Now, again, hey, things happen. You know, sometimes you just got to go. Okay. We're not going to penalize you for that. But we're going to ask you, be aware of that and do your best to be present in the meeting for the whole meeting. You may stand up right at a time when somebody is having an interaction with the Lord. The Lord is speaking to them, convicting them, enlightening them. And whoop, light is very fleeting. Light can be very fleeting. One interruption, and it's gone. One ding from Facebook notification, and whoa, it's the light, it vanished. For yourself and for others, try your best not to get up during the meetings, okay? Amen. That's it. Oh, yeah, you need that. Let's see here.
For my portion, I would just like to continue the fellowship just a little bit on this matter of the battlefield. I see a lot of faces that I know, and I see a lot of faces that I don't know. So for those of you who do not know me, I'm from the Northwest, and my name is Willie. That's good enough. I would say this, just by virtue of this title, we could see and understand that we are in a battlefield. We're in a battle, and we are on a battlefield. Knowing, seeing, and gaining God in the age of godlessness. That means that because by virtue of this age, we are something is anti-God. And so if something is anti-God, that means it's anti-you and I. Therefore, we have to have this kind of mindset that we need to be equipped to fight this battle. And so my portion is to equip us, and actually Ted used that word, equipped, and I think you have this, do you have this now, this outline? Okay. If you look at the title, it says 2017. Okay, Willie, we already know that. But I want to say that. 2017 summer college training. Summer college training. That means this. You're here to be trained. Okay, now, that means this. You need to detach from the training that you had before you came into this meeting. The world is constantly training you to be anti-God or to be, quote, quote, normal in a godless age. We don't want to be normal. You know, in other words, we don't want to be just like everyone else. Oh, this is okay, that's okay. And you'll see tomorrow night, there's a lot that's not okay according to the Word of God. We don't want to be, we want to be abnormal. Abnormally normal. That's not an amen?
Amen.
I like it. So, we want to train you. And this training has everything to do with the truth. Now, Ted said that we're in a battlefield. I'm going to give you quite a number of verses because we're not standing here on our own merit. We're standing here on the Word of God. So the first verse that I would like to give you is a very familiar one, and this is 1 John 5:19. The entire world, we all know this verse, it's very familiar. The entire world lies in the evil one. Ted said, we're blind, and we don't even know that we're blind. And we try to find out where we're blind, and you can't find out where you're blind because you're blind. It's just like I would take someone and lay them up on the table, and my name is Satan Physician. I'm Dr. Satan. And I'm going to perform a surgery, so I will put a little anesthetic in there so that you don't feel anything. That's the dulling of the mind. Anyway, a little anesthetic. And you come in for an appendectomy. But I am so pernicious, I want your liver so I can sell it on the black market. And you don't have a clue what's going on. So you just lay there and say, go ahead. This is a picture of the entire world. Go ahead, Satan, do what you want. Have your way. Grab, take hold of, possess my mind, but here we are renewing your mind.
Amen.
So there's going to be some washing going on all this week, and we want to prepare you for tomorrow night, because tomorrow night you're going to start off in the barn burning. It's going to be a barn burner tomorrow night. We will hit, I don't know if very many of you are from Asia and you don't know this idiom, we will hit the ground running tomorrow night. You know that idiom? I mean, I know you all from the U.S., you know it. You know that. So, we're going to hit the ground running tomorrow night, so buckle up. Amen?
Amen.
How can we renew your mind? Okay. The only way to renew your mind is through the shining of the truth. And the truth is embodied not only in a person, but in the Word of God. That's why, and here's another verse, John 8 says this, you shall know the, and the truth shall do something, what? I'm going to say it this way, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall renew your mind. We can say it both ways. Because the renewing is by the transforming Spirit, and we know the Spirit is Christ, and we know Christ is the truth, and we know the truth is embodied in the Word when we exercise our Spirit. Therefore, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall renew you. I hope that you understand and realize that, going back to this battlefield, that there's something that's transpiring that you can't see. Satan is the author of disguise. And so he is constantly trying to make you believe that what the real situation is not what it is. Daniel 10 is clear concerning that. There was a battle raging going on, and the angelic forces were fighting, and everybody else, you know, if you look at Daniel 10, I think it's verse 7, I think it's verse 7, and it says, Daniel said, I saw the vision, but the others with me, they didn't see anything. I hope you're not like the others. I hope none of us this week are like the others. We are those who see what is going on. The battle is raging against and for your mind. There's this little light, you know, you have these little sayings around the license plate holders. You know, one of them I really like. It says this. He who dies, and I think that's kind of dumb anyway, he who dies with the most toys win. Have you seen that license? Maybe just us out in the Northwest, we're kind of liberal out there. And so maybe, you know, y'all don't have that down here. And Venu, you don't have it in Texas, right? We don't have it in Houston, do we? Venu, do we? Have you seen it? Yeah, he who dies with the most toys wins. That's really dumb. But as I was looking at that, you know, because everything can be translated into the Spirit. If you just look. And so I looked at that and I thought, he who speaks the most wins. Is, you know, for those who speak Chinese, who can speak Mandarin? Okay. Nuga when? Nichida buchida. When is soul. Debide. Okay. So I said to her the word for soul. You know what that, when, you know what that is? Do you know what that means? Okay. Nichida, buchida. Gao su wo, man. Sang qi lai. Gao su wo, man. When? Yeah, dui. Tell us what it means in English. Soul. Yeah. Do you know what that means? Okay. It means this. In Chinese, in Mandarin, huan means the devil speaking. That's the word for soul. The Chinese word for soul is the devil speaking. He who speaks the most wins. So if you are in your mind, or if you're in the wrong realm, who's speaking to you? But when you're in your spirit, the more you log time in your mingled spirit, the Lord speaks, he wins. Wow. It's very, 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 very interesting. Now, I have some more verses here that I would like to highlight on this. So would you look at this outline that you have, and I would just tell you that I'm going to labor on Roman numeral 3. That's where my real burden lies. But I would like to read Roman numeral 1. I will read, today the whole earth needs the truth of the Lord that is in his word. That is a outstanding, profound statement. Today, there's a need for the entire earth. Did I say the whole world? The whole earth needs the truth. The whole earth needs the truth of the Lord that is in his word. And then the example here is in Acts chapter 8. And that's what we are doing together corporately here, and that is all of us are the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch was reading something which all of you are reading, and which is the Word of God, and he didn't understand. And then the Spirit told Philip to join him. Philip ran. That's another point. Philip ran. And I hope we do a lot of inward running to help one another get into the Word of God. Toward the end of my speaking, I would just like to testify to you by my experience of getting into the Word of God and what has transpired in my being. Not to be uplifted by you, but just to encourage you that you can do it. If I can do it, I guarantee you. If I can do it, I guarantee you, you can do it. If I can do it, you can. Okay. So it says here, and when Philip ran up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you really know? Do you really know the things that you are reading?" And he said, How could I unless someone guides me?" And he entreated Philip to come up and sit with him. What did Philip share with him? Philip shared with him the entire economy of God. How do we know this? Because the Ethiopian eunuch said, "Look, water, what hinders or prevents me from being baptized?" So even though you don't, you know, it doesn't say that Philip shared with him that, but that is the a strong implication that that's what Philip did. Now, I have this little booklet. It's called The Propagation of the Truth in the Lord's Recovery. This is my burden. We all need to be constituted or equipped, the word that Ted used, with the truth. And here, just this little portion I would like to read. I would like to read this little portion to you. This is Bra Lee. "I have read the Bible for many years, but not until recently did I discover that in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, there is the concept that everyone must speak the word of God." Now, don't let that intimidate you. When we get down to close to the end of my speaking, you'll be encouraged. "Or that everyone may speak the word of God, or we might say that everyone is able to speak the word of God. In summary, we might say that one who is saved, one who serves the Lord, has the qualification, the right, the ability, and also the responsibility and burden to speak the word of God." Robert, it looks like a room full of Phillips in here. But if you're, "Oh, I don't know what to say, I'm afraid," and so forth, don't worry. I'm 6'5" now. I used to be 6'6". That's true. You will go down. You will. And I'm 250 pounds now, I think. I'm petrified. I'm just petrified. It's terrifying. I'm petrified to preach the gospel. Would you believe it? It's true. Abnell, it's true. If you send me out there and say, "Okay, Willie, go out and preach the gospel," I go, "Who am I going to talk to? What am I going to say?" That's really how I am. Not anymore. I will tell you why. Who here, honestly speaking, is afraid to go out? Are you considering, Robert said Monday we go out. As soon as he said that, did you think, "Oh, no"? Did you think that? Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. Me too. I mean, when he said it, I thought, "Oh, good." You'll see why. So what? We need to be equipped to speak what? And this little booklet, I won't take time to read it, but it tells you we need to teach people about God. And then Bradley gives a whole line of fellowship on what about God, which absolutely is related to and concerned with and wrapped up in the eternal economy of God concerning the person and work of Christ. But anyway, you will get that. Okay, now, I have another verse here that I would like to give you. And before I give you these verses, I would say this. The Word of God, as we spoke, is Christ. Revelation 19:13 is clear. John 1:1 is clear. John 1:14 is clear. The Word is Christ. We know that. Okay. But it's very interesting. When you go through the Gospels, the Lord Jesus himself was equipped with the Word. Now, I don't know how that happens. He's the Word. He's equipped with the Word. But it's true. It's true. Now, I'll give you a few verses just to back up my point. And I wanted to keep it very simple. This is very familiar. Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. They are quotations. Matthew 4:4 is a quotation from Deuteronomy 8:3. Luke 4:8 is a quotation from Deuteronomy 6:13. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. Luke 4:12 is a quotation from Deuteronomy 6:16. Then if you Satan will try to deceive you and he'll quote the word. You know that portion where he says, in Luke and Matthew 4:4, he says, cast yourself off the precipice, and if you fall, you know, the angels will bear you up, lest you dash your feet against a stone. You know that verse? Have you ever read on in that verse in Psalm? Have you read on? Do you know what the next verse says? Aha, so you have to read the Bible. Ted, they got to read the Bible. You know what the next verse says? Satan quotes that verse. Then the next verse, and that's from Psalm, and the next verse says this, you, referring to the Lord, will tread on the scorpions. Who didn't know that? Satan quotes the word. He who speaks the most wins. He quotes the word, but the Lord Jesus says, I have another word for you. I will tread on you. That's the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. The Bible is a marvelous book. I'm going to jump ahead here, and I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to jump ahead to a practical point that I was going to keep for the end, but I just can't help it, so I'm going to tell you now. In your Bible reading, do you read, when you get to, Genesis, it's so wonderful. It's a lot of fun. Oh, and then, Adam, Abraham came. First fall, second fall, third fall, fourth fall, idol worship. God gave up man. Oh, he called race. The Adamic race, we give up. Then the call race, Abraham. Oh, and then Isaac. Oh, he's a picture of this. Oh, it's so good. Then Joseph. It's enjoyable, right? The book of Genesis. And then the book of Exodus. Oh, it's so much fun. Oh, Joseph, he's ruling. And then all of a sudden, not only is he, he's ruling, then another Pharaoh raises up who knew not Joseph. And then there's the captivity. And then the Lord comes in, prepares Moses. And then Moses goes through, I can't speak. Well, okay, I'll give you Aaron as your speaker. Okay. And then he gets Aaron and Pharaoh, let my people go. And then I'm not going to let him. Who is Jehovah? You go through this. Oh, it's enjoyable, is it not? And then the Passover, the lentil, the blood on the lentil, and then stay in the house, and no unleavened bread, bitter herbs, and then, ask the Egyptian for the money, because it's rightful payment for the 400 plus years that you held us enslaved. You held back the wages, now give us the wages. It's enjoyable, is it not? And then you get to chapter 17, and then they fight against Amalek, and you're just, get him. And Joshua's down there. Sorry, I'm a little weird. I just love that, get him, and then Moses is up there, and Aaron and Hur hold, and then Joshua's mowing them down. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, I love it. You don't love reading the Bible? I love the Bible. But then you get to Leviticus. Well, no. Sorry. But then you get to chapter 24 of Exodus 25, you know, the sockets and the bronze and the linen and the rods, and then, this number three and, and then five. And then, oh, what is it? Oh, it's boring. I'm afraid most of us are like this. And then you get to Leviticus, and then you go, oh. It's so hard to read the Bible. I don't understand what's going on in Leviticus. You will. I'm going to show you how. Oh, just look at Leviticus, chapter 21, verse 18. Have you ever considered, it says, it's about the qualifications of the priests. And the priests are not, a priest is not supposed to have one limb longer than the other. Have you ever considered that? You probably didn't even read it. You probably read right out. You probably didn't even read it. Did you read that? One limb longer than the other. What does that mean? Okay. I'm going to leave that suspended. I'm going to leave that hanging there because I'll come back. I'll pick it up at the end. Okay. Now, look at Roman numeral 2. It says, if the truth gets into your memory, I'm not reading the verses, I'm reading the ministry portion from the elders' training. If the truth gets into your memory, it becomes a constant and long-term nourishment. This is true. Then you have an accumulation of the truth, and you are a person continually under the constant nourishment. Constant. Okay. Now, in Roman numeral 3, I won't read Roman numeral 3. Well, I'll read it. We must therefore spend time laboring on the truth. Dear saints, labor on the truth. There are some marvelous benefits which I will give to you. And one of them was to understand the lengthening of the limb as a qualification of the priest. If you are a priest with one limb longer than the other, you're disqualified from the priesthood. Can we be disqualified from the New Testament priesthood? Absolutely not. In experience, can we? Yes. If we have one limb longer than the other, and I said I wouldn't tell you, but I'm going to tell you now, it's because you overstep. You're not under. You go beyond your measure. Each one of us has been allotted a certain measure. If you have one limb longer, that means you overstep. You go beyond that. Not only should we understand the truth, but we should also be able to use simple words to teach others the truth. This is a skill, and this skill comes from what I'm about to tell you here. Now, before I tell you that, I would like to turn to and give you another verse, Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. Matthew 13, 52, and we would please read that together. And if you have it before me, please just go ahead. 13, 52. Okay, so I got it before you, so I will read. And he said to them, for this reason, every scribe, disciple to the kingdom of the heavens, is like a householder who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. We know, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, we have this treasure. We know that. And this treasure is the living, wonderful person, Christ. Okay. That means we need to take Christ in order to bring him out. See, a householder. What happened there? These gadgets are terrible. Is like a householder who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. That means that we have to be persons who are constantly taking something in of the treasure so that what comes out of us will be the treasure. That means this, dear saints. We need a habit of getting into the treasure and understanding the treasure, just like in Acts chapter 8, he did not understand. Philip could explain it to him. And how could Philip explain it to him? He needed a can, quote, quote, a can opener. The Ethiopian eunuch needed a can opener, quote, quote. And Philip was the embodiment of the can opener, or he was the embodiment of the New Testament ministry. So he could take those that portion in Isaiah and bring that Ethiopian eunuch from that point to God's New Testament economy, and you will be able to do the same. How? Oh, not how, not yet. See, I just want to get to it. Not yet. Okay, look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. 10, 17 through 20. Okay, I will read. Please follow along. And beware of men, for they will deliver you up to Sanhedrins, and in their synagogues they will scourge you. And you will also be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. My question is this, and keep in mind Matthew chapter 13, 52. My question is this. Is it like this? I'm a New Testament. I mean, I've been saved for 20 years, but I don't get into the ministry. And now I'm delivered up before to be persecuted. And so I get delivered up, and this verse says, "It will be given to you what to speak." Do you believe that it will be one of these, you know, boop, economical kind of experience where all of a sudden, oh, blah, blah, you open your mouth? I would say no, not according to the principle of incarnation, not according to the Lord himself being the embodiment of the word, getting into the word and speaking the word. We have to be those who get into the word so that when we come to this kind of situation, we have something to speak. It's the same as lifting weights. You're not going to go and try out for the Olympics and never lift any weights and think, oh, okay, when I go there, I'll be able to lift 400 pounds. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. What works is you need to get into it. So for those of you who are afraid to go Monday, no problem. What are you going to speak when you share the gospel? Suppose someone asks you about the lengthened or one limb longer. Now you have something to speak. Because I just put it into you. You know, I was reading in Leviticus one day. Are you a believer? I was reading in Leviticus one day, and it said some guy had one limb long. What does that mean? Oh, I can tell you what that means. So now you're emboldened. The gospel is kind of like, to our soul life, a little persecution. Are you a little scared? Vern, do you get a little nervous sometimes? So you need to get into the word. Read. Leer la Biblia. Is that right, Abnel? Yeah. Read the Bible. Okay, now, I want to give you some benefits. Okay, and here's my personal testimony. In 2015, I had surgery, and I was out of sorts for a while. So I decided to do something, and this is to my shame. This is to my shame. I hope you don't have this testimony. I had never read through all the life studies from Genesis to Revelation. I had never done that. That's to my shame. And so I just said, well, I'm sitting here. I might as well start reading. Well, I started in Leviticus. And because I'm always in Genesis and Exodus life studies, and so I said, I'll start with Leviticus, and I will just read. Dear saints, the minute, well, there's a portion here. Where did I see it? Oh, here. Okay. Look at Roman numeral 3. The quotation there. And let's read that together. Go. All right. Not just among today's Christians, but among unbelievers. The world needs to be ripped out of the grip of the evil one. Who will do that? You and I, as the army in this battle, having been breathed into by the Spirit and equipped by getting into the Word, will transform this entire age. Read the life studies. It gives you a foundational, it gives you a foundation, a base. Then you read the ministry books. Now remember, I already said, read the Bible. What we are saying here right now is not to replace Bible reading, but do you really know what you're reading? How can I unless someone guides me? How can I? The limb? Don't forget the limb. How can I? Did you know? I could give you other examples. We were fellowshipping in Houston, Venu and I, and some others. And this is not a test, but this is just to show you. In Luke chapter 7, there are three different stories that that Luke put together. Number one, the centurion who had the slave who was sick. Number two, the widow whose son died at Nain, N-A-I-N. Number three, John the Baptist being beheaded. Brother Lee says these three go together. Have you ever considered how they go together? You will if you read the life study. So I don't have time to tell you. It's quite encouraging. It's quite encouraging. Okay, so anyway, I started reading the life studies. I started in Leviticus, and I just read. Don't try to remember. The first time through, don't try to remember. You're going to forget. Ask me what is in Obadiah. I can't tell you. But I read it. So I read from Leviticus to Malachi. I finished all those life studies. Then I just started the New Testament. I finished Matthew, Mark, Luke, and I just finished John yesterday. And I started this morning before I got on the plane. I read the first life study in Acts, so I'm in Acts. There are 1,984, and you can do it in 5 years if you just read one a day. Sometimes you can read two and three a day, especially in the minor prophets. Then the next time you go through, so once you finish, go back, now study. Now study. But the first time through, just read to be familiar. So you can get a foundation. Okay, this is what happened to me. This is my testimony, and it will happen to you. Number one, I was sanctified. Every time you are there reading the Word and the ministry, you are in a sanctified atmosphere. Number two, my temper has left me. I don't want to mislead you. Sorry. It hasn't left me, but it surely has been controlled. It's still there because I'm still in this old creation, even though I'm a new creation. But it has been controlled. Number three, I am a very quick person. But you know, I've slowed down a little bit. Number four, in the matter of sanctification, driving. You know, Ron brings up driving the car all the time, and I hate, and I really mean I hate, certain things on the road. Anyway, something happened, and I did like this. I thought, oh, and I thought, hey, why didn't I react? I didn't even know it. So what was happening is, number, this is whatever number, transformation takes place, and you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. Dear saints, we talk about Ted gave you the verse, those verses in Romans chapter 12. Do not be fashioned according to this age, but be by. The renewing takes place, and you don't even have a realization that is what is happening. Okay, then the other thing. It gives me more of a desire to go to the meetings because now I have something to say. I have something to say. And when I stand up, I'm not terrified. You know, a lot of us, the reason we're terrified is we care for ourselves. And then we think, oh, what do I have to say? Or then we start comparing. Oh, Ted shared this. What am I going to share? I don't even think about that. I just stand up based on what I read. The next thing that happened was this. It seems like every life study that I was in, there was someone who needed that life study that night. What I read that morning, someone needed that night. It happened, it has happened over and over again. So you're able to supply someone. And then the next day you just forget, I'm not saying forget the life study, but the next day you forget it. You know how we are. Don't worry about that. Don't let the devil condemn you and say, oh, well, you're not going to remember anyway, so you might as well stop reading. No. Absolutely not. Say no to the evil one. Just read. Okay. Then I had another one. I said it renews your mind. Oh, it calms you. There's no fear. Why? Because I have something to say again. I have something to say. So I'm in a calm state. Why? Because it's there. So I can speak it. So it calms you. That has been my experience. And then, like I mentioned already about Leviticus chapter 21, verse 18, and the qualifications of the priests, it makes the books of the Bible enjoyable and real. Enjoyable and real. Why is God not real to you? Because you don't come to him in the Word. And then when you come to him in the Word, and I really like what Ted shared in the end there about the conscience. The reason the Bible is not real, the reason that sometimes you don't want to come to the meetings, the reason that you may feel that the meetings are boring, sometimes you might feel that way, or you're looking at the clock, what do we, you know. The reason is your conscience is very much layered over. Too many layers. But if you come to the Word, then that Word will tell you, and the ministry will tell you, and Brother Lee says this so many times, let you know that you need to come to the Lord in with a pure heart. Open to him. The other thing that that's helpful in reading the life studies and then the ministry, Brother Lee says this over and over again, and you'll see this. Like I said before, like I mentioned in the last message, like I mentioned in the first part of this message, because we forget. So Brother Lee repeats. So it's okay to repeat. Brother Lee repeats a lot because we don't get it or we forget. Now, you need to get, what is very helpful is to get on a reading schedule. And I'm beyond my time, right? Yeah, sorry about that. You know, it's not easy. So I'll just say this, and I sorry, saints, I'm over the time. I will just say this. When you read, well, it must be time to sit down because I forgot what I was going to say. I was looking at Robert and I forgot. You intimidated me. Tomorrow? Barn burner. There will be some renewing going on. Amen? Amen? Amen. So prepare yourselves. Amen.